You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Kiwi researchers are part of an international project called IceCube that uses polar ice to see what's going on in the great beyond, aka space. IceCube has just made some first-time discoveries, and one of the researchers on the team, Jenny Adams, a physicist from the University of Canterbury, had a chat with me this morning about the project. She started by telling me about the work as a whole.
Okie dokie. So IceCube is a neutrino telescope. So neutrinos are particles that actually ubiquitous. The sun puts them out. We have them in radioactive. We human beings emit them in radioactive decays. But IceCube is after detecting astrophysical neutrinos. So those are neutrinos that are created in the highest energy processes in the universe, coming from the cosmos. And neutrinos, the one thing about them that's kind of particularly special is they're often called ghost particles, and they can pretty much travel through anything, except sometimes they interact. So if they never interacted, we wouldn't have a chance to detect them, and it would be pointless. But luckily they interact every now and then. But because it's so rare, the interaction, you need a huge detector. And so IceCube uses the ice below the South Pole as the detector. So what happens is that whenever a neutrino interacts in the ice, some other particles are produced, and then some light is produced, and we have light sensors that are distributed in a big array under the ice, and with those light sensors we detect the light that was emitted and the pattern from it can tell us about the energy of the neutrino, the original neutrino, and its direction. So we can actually do astronomy by detecting those neutrinos with our big detector. We've done all sorts of things. So we've been involved in the project for over 20 years now, since 2000, and we've done different things. So one of the tricky things with detecting the neutrinos from outer space is that we also detect other neutrinos that kind of confuse us of which neutrinos that we want. And so it's kind of tricky with the analysis. You have to figure out ways to tell the neutrinos apart. So we've worked on using the patterns and particular things about the patterns to work out which are the neutrinos that we want. We've also worked on, we call it calibrating the ice. So the ice below the South Pole is not just, it's extremely, extremely clear, which is a big bonus for the project. So you can have just a little flash of light on one side of the detector and you can see it on the other. So that's great. But there is actually some layers of dust and soot there, which are from like ancient volcanoes, because actually the ice there is fell as snow thousands of years ago, and then more snow comes and it gets compressed and compressed down. So where the detector is the snow that fell 10 to 40,000 years ago. And so on top of that, there can be, if there was a huge volcano, or actually during the ice ages, there's not much rain, and so dust that gets up into the atmosphere can travel all around the globe because there's no rain to rain it out. And so there's kind of layers of dust and soot and things in the ice, and for us to be able to use the pattern to work out the properties of the neutrinos, like the energy and where they're coming from, we need to really understand that ice really well. So we've been doing calibration of the ice, so figuring out exactly where those layers are and how they affect the ice. I think that's probably some of the main projects that we've had.
Incredible. And what have the recent findings been from the project about the galaxy called NGC-1068? Catchy name.
Yeah, I know. Those are numbers. Lots of objects out in space, so you have to kind of give them telephone numbers, basically, catalogue numbers. Yeah, so that is actually quite a famous galaxy. Yeah, it's called an active galaxy because it has a supermassive black hole at the center, which is still accreting matter and emitting a lot of radiation. So our own galaxy has a supermassive black hole at the center, but it's kind of reasonably passive. I think it's basically gobbled up most of the stuff that was close by it. So it's now not, doesn't really affect our galaxy much. But when there's a one that's still accreting, it's like a lot of matter falling onto it at the center of a galaxy, that radiation that's emitted, the light and other wavelengths that are emitted from the process around that black hole can outshine the rest of the stars in the galaxy, and then we call it an active galactic nuclei. And this one which we've detected neutrinos from now is one of the closer ones to Earth or our solar system, our galaxy, and it so has been studied with other radio wavelengths for a while, and so it is one we had suspected might have neutrino emission, but it's got a lot of dust around it, so you can't see the sort of inner part. So neutrinos would be the only things that would be able to escape from the inner parts of that active galactic nuclei. So we have for some time been looking for neutrinos, and kind of as I mentioned, there's this issue that there are not the only neutrinos that we detect are the ones that we want to detect. So when we have all of the neutrinos that we've detected over the years, it's kind of a little bit like trying to pull out of a haystack the exciting neutrinos out from those ones. So one of the things that you can kind of do is look at places on the sky and see if you see more than average from that place. So that would tell you that it is not just these boring neutrinos that have a smooth distribution, but if you see a kind of hot spot where there's a lot coming from, that sort of tells you actually are coming from that object. So we've been for a while been seeing that this was a warm spot in the sky, but now we have now detected over 80. It doesn't sound like a lot, but 80 neutrinos, more than would be expected if it was just an average place in the sky that we looked at. So we know that they really are coming from that active galactic nuclei. So so now we want to look at the energy spectrum, it's called, so the range of energies that are being coming from the object, because that can tell us about the what is the maximum energy that's of particles created there, and features about the neutrinos that will tell us more. But so far, this exciting result is the fact that the first time that we've detected significant numbers of neutrinos from any object. So we've actually only detected two objects in space, and the other one was because it happened to be coincident with a gamma ray, which is a high energy photon, but we only really got one neutrino, so that it was kind of interesting in that they were being produced, but there's not enough to look at the distribution to say, is that the maximum energy there? Or so once you start to have a number, you can draw graphs basically and figure out more about it. So the exciting bit is that we're now getting enough that we can say, okay, we can really start studying these more like the way you study, do astronomy with light.
That was me speaking to Jenny Adams from the University of Canterbury about the IceCube project.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.